Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Charlotte Gamble is an international speaker and author, best known for her practical and passionate application of God's Word. She and her husband lead Life Church in England, and we are today going to be talking to her about her book, Turn About God. Charlotte, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let me begin by asking you to define the title, Turn Around God. What does that mean?
I just wanted to sum up really in essence what the book is all about. And I really believe that God's nature is that he is a turnaround God, that he entered the chaos and the void that was at the beginning of time, and he created something beautiful. He brought forth life and light and brought order out of chaos, and because he's a turnaround God. And mm-hmm. The cross itself is a picture of the turnaround opportunity that salvation was offered to us, to turn around our eternity. And I think we are called, therefore, to have the nature of God, that we're called to have our lives turned around, but also understand that we're called to turn around our world, because turnaround God resides inside us. So that's why I called the book that title.
So you're suggesting that we all have more or less a need to turn around our tendencies or our life situation?
Yeah, I think all of us can very easily, too easily, settle for our life to be kind of organized and managed. And I think there's a secret control freak in most of us that gets our life in order and feels that that's the level that we're going to live our life at. And I think we've got to be willing to let God turn that over and turn it into what he wants to turn it into, because God has no ceiling and he has no limitation. And I think sometimes we've got to think outside of where we've boxed God in and say, God, is there something you want me to turn around my perspective in, turn around, you know, how I'm using my gifts and talents mm-hmm. in? And that's what I really want the book to spark and awaken inside people, that God's not finished with you yet. He's probably just beginning some of the stuff he wants to do through you.
I am going to suggest, though, that there may be some people, including Christians, who they're not sure they need to be turned around.
Absolutely. And I think I was very aware when I wrote this book that some people may read the title and think, well, that's for people that just, you know, they have a big need in their life where they need to see God turn something around. But more often than not, I've realized in my own journey that if I didn't have a major crisis, that's not that God doesn't want to turn something around. But so often, you know, I didn't know that I was going to write a book. I didn't know that I would speak across the world. But God knew that that was within me. But if I hadn't let God turn around my expectations and what I saw within myself, mm-hmm. then I would have never stepped outside of my comfort zone. And I think we can all be quite apathetic sometimes about the things that God wants us to be passionate about. And so it's that awakening that it's not just if you're in a crisis, but it's actually an awakening to say, actually, the power of God resides in me, and he wants to get out through me. So it's not just about me. It's about what God wants to use my life to do.
But that's the hard part, because when I have a crisis or a situation that I know needs changing, whether it's in myself or one that affects me, I tend to be pretty sure which direction God should turn it.
Yeah.
And yet may not always be that way.
Right. I think we all like to tell God how to do his job. I think we pray a prayer, and in the back of our mind, we've already decided what the answer should be and when it should arrive. And oftentimes we want God to work with us, or we want to let God follow us and our lead, but mm-hmm. we've got to put God in front of our lives and say, no, God, you know, I don't want to just work for you. I want to work with you. And those two things are very, very different. You know, working for God means that oftentimes we're busy doing things that are good in nature and, mm-hmm. and good indeed, but they're not necessarily the thing that God wants to work with you on. And working with God, you find a grace, a purpose, and a power in that that's different than just doing jobs and managing your life your way. And I think it's a challenge daily. It's a challenge for me in the busyness of what I do, that God, I'm doing the right things at the right timings in my life and not just responding to everybody else's demands of me, but actually putting my life unto your feet and saying, what is it you want to use me to turn around today?
But that's pretty scary sometimes, because we're not sure that we're ready to take this radical change that sometimes comes about when we turn ourselves over to the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you read your Bible, and I don't think any of the people that God used and worked through in the Bible had an expectation that their life was going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Esther thought when she entered the harem in the king's palace that she'd end up being queen and delivering her people.
Yeah.
I don't think David, when he was on a hill just watching a few sheep, thought he'd go and take the head off a giant down in the valley. I don't think Joseph in a pit thought that he would end up being, you know, in the palace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of their lives that they had that expectation it would be where it ended up to be. But that's the beauty of when we trust God to turn things around. And when we're willing to play our part, all those people did was find a place in their life where they said, I'm willing to step outside of my comfort zone and give this a shot. And I think, you know, those are historic stories that we're talking about that we read in our Bible, but we're now living our history. We're now making our history, and God's no respecter of persons. He wants to do the same in and through us.
You know, Charlotte, I was talking to you before we started our interview about how I lived in Northern Ireland for 3 years, and I was at the time when I was given the opportunity living in San Diego, California, which is kind of a nice place to live.
It is. It's beautiful.
And so I was approached on this, and I go, I don't think so. And the approach would come back 6 or 8 weeks after that and on. And for 4 months, I put this off. And one day I realized this is a call from God. And am I willing to move out of my geographic and career comfort zone to go not knowing what to expect in a rather difficult part of the world in that time period? And yet I was blessed, and I believe I was a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've all got to have that willingness to be interrupted. I think too often, you know, we're not interruptible, and the Holy Spirit, the God, wants to guide us and nudge us and say, hey, will you do this? Will you go there? Will you be willing? Will you be sent? And I think, you know, we've all got to step out. I think apathy is one of our destiny killers. I think apathy creeps in so easily where we end up reclining, as it were, spiritually, rather than being out and active. And I think it can happen to all of us. I think apathy gives you a pair of slippers, and passion wants to give you a pair of sneakers.
Mm.
And often we want the slippers rather than the sneakers. But, you know, like you'd found when you went to Northern Ireland, that God wants to use us to make a difference. And it's not just about the people that you go to. It does something in you as well.
Yes.
So I've seen that in and through our life. My husband left America, Washington State,
mm-hmm.
and moved to Bradford, which is not glamorous, nor has mountains, nor has ski slopes, nor
yes.
has any of the beautiful weather. And yet the purpose of God forged a path in his life that now is affecting many other lives.
I am discovering more and more that when I pray, Thy will be done, I really have no idea what that will is. I like to say, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. But you know what I discovered? I have no idea what the best is, and I'm not sure I even know what the worst might be, though I have my own ideas.
Right. Yeah, and I think part of our journey in loving and serving God is building in that relationship where we don't have to know everything. You know, where we don't have to have everything up front, where we don't have to have, you know, sometimes we give God so many excuses of why we can't step out and do things. You know, we feel we're unqualified. We feel someone else would do a better job than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we start to put all this stuff between us and obedience. And it slows down the processes of the church to change our communities and change the generation in which we are called to make a difference. And I think we've got to remove the excuses and not be so dependent on, as it were, the handouts from God daily to give us the next step, and just say, God, you've asked me to do this. I'm going to be obedient. And often it's when you're on your way that God starts to give you more direction. And I always think God wants to direct a moving vehicle. He doesn't want to steer a parked car.
You suggest here also that sometimes we don't make the complete U-turn. We don't allow God to do that to us. And so we settle for some, what you call is just some improvements rather than a complete turnaround.
Yeah, I think it's easy to stop before God's finished. I think you know, you can pray a prayer and you say, God, I want you to do this in my life. And then it gets us a little bit better. And then we stop praying the prayer. And I think, you know, it's like the lepers that, you know, they got a touch and a healing, mm-hmm. but one came back and got a full restoration.
Right.
And I think sometimes it's all it took was that leper, one of them, turning around and completing that process. And I think sometimes we get our bit and then we're off on our way when God says, I have more, I had more. And all you had to do was journey a little bit further, trust a little bit deeper, carry on a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to live a life that's almost like band-aided up, you know, patch up here, a patch up there. When I serve a God who can do the miraculous, who can restore something as good as new, who can make things come to life, I don't want to settle for an improved Christianity. I want to have a turned around experience with God. And our communities around us don't need band-aids. They need a miracle. Our communities around us don't need, you know, a hopeful, you know, prayer. They need people that believe that God can do what he said he can do. And so if we settle for improvements in our own life, then we're likely to settle for that in our marriages, in our communities, in our colleges. And I think we've got to believe for better.
If you've just tuned in, folks, you're listening to LifeQuest. The program is an interview with author Charlotte Gamble. Her book is Turn Around God. Charlotte, can you tell our listeners how you have experienced this turnaround experience in your own life?
Yeah, there's many different ways and levels of it in my own life, in my own journey, in my actual physical sense. I was told that we would never have children. My husband and I mentioned it in the book. And I was left with this barrenness that I had to say to God, I need this turning around. Can you turn this around for us? And for us, we had a miracle. We have two children.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a journey. It didn't happen overnight. I make the point in the book that, you know, we all love the God of the suddenly, but God does slowly too. And
yes.
We don't celebrate those because we want the suddenly. And then we give up if we don't get a suddenly.
Right.
And I had to realize that the turnaround doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes you turn around, it's like turning of a tap. It takes a few turns before the water flows. And that journey began to teach something in me of the nature of God. And so I've seen it in my physical health, and I've seen it in our community and in our church, that we've gone into parts of our community where nobody wants to go, where, you know, there's high levels of crime and prostitution and homelessness, and we've gone in and we've worked a process of believing God can turn things around. And we've seen lives changed and testimony after testimony of people that have been transformed through that process. So I've seen it in every single level. And in my own journey, you know, I've settled sometimes for this is all I think I can do. And then I've turned it over to God and I've seen that I can do so much more with him.
I know you're involved with church leadership in the UK. There are differences between the Christian experience or the profile of people in the UK and in the US. What are some of those significant differences?
Absolutely. There's some big differences. I think the major probably difference across the board, if I was to look at both places, is that in the UK we are a very largely unchurched nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got the reputation for sending all the missionaries overseas, but
right.
We should have left some behind.
Yes, exactly.
So in the UK, I mean, God is not a topic of conversation. There is no concept of going to church. Christian music is very small and not widely known of. Christian radio stations didn't even exist until recently and have smaller listenership. It's just not even on the radar. If you were to say you went to church, you would be thought of as unusual, weird even, or maybe a little bit fanatical and religious.
Mm-hmm.
So our problem in the UK has been to get people to understand that God is relevant, that he has something to say now, that it's not some dying out religion, that actually he's life-giving, he's not legalistic, he has grace and love and mercy. All those things are our job that we have to work hard on. I think what I've observed in America is that you almost have the reverse, in that you have so many people that have grown up around church, say they would be a Christian,
mm-hmm.
have been to church, would claim they know God, and yet, you know, somehow it can be like, well, I've done it, seen it,
right.
You know, got it, and now it's in my God box. You know, it's part of my social calendar to do the God box, and then that's it. And so God becomes just a part of our functioning of our life rather than a living, active faith and a revelation of actually what we're called to do. I think both have got their, you know, their problems. So we have to work that mission field harder, and I think you have to reawaken inside the body of Christ the purpose for which we're called and set apart.
Yeah. Would you talk to our listeners a bit about the format of the book? One of the things that attracted me was at the end of each section, you have these kind of statements, you know, God wants you to embrace the forgiveness that will keep you moving forward, or through Christ, we have in our lives the power to bring change. Tell me about how you'd like this book to be used.
Yeah, I think for me, the book is written with a whole, you know, everybody in mind. It's not written for those that are in a crisis. It's not written for those that, you know, are far from God. It's written just to an everyday person, just to say, look, we are all on the same journey, and we all, every single one of us, has a part to play. And if we could awaken, and if we could understand that the seed inside of us that God wants to use to grow amazing things for his kingdom and reach lives, how much more would we get done in and through our communities across the world? And so the book to me is written in a way that empowers you. It's easy. It's practical. It talks about aspects of relationships, talks about forgiveness, talks about destiny and callings. It talks about handling situations. I wanted it to be a practical tool in the hands of every person, so that when you have finished a chapter, my prayer is you'll put it down and there's something you could actually do with that chapter tomorrow in your everyday life. You could actually take something from it and say, I can apply that tomorrow and see it work in and through my life. So I want it to be like a tool book almost, something that you can take like a manual and put it to work and test and see what God will do as you apply the principles within it.
How can our listeners get a copy of this book?
They can get a hold of it from Thomas Nelson. Amazon also have it online. They can get it at Barnes & Noble, or they can get it at charlottegamble.com, my own website there, and any of those places, they'll be able to get hold of it.
Again, the book is called Turnaround God. It's a Thomas Nelson publication by Charlotte Gamble. Charlotte, thanks for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Thank you so much for having me. Pray blessing on all the listeners that are listening today and on yourself. Thank you.
I'll be back in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here is host Dwight Lanoff.
A few programs back, I interviewed Dr. Kevin Lehman on his latest book, Parenting Your Powerful Child. Now, Dr. Kevin Lehman is an internationally known psychologist. He's a humorist. He's taught and entertained audiences worldwide. He's been on the New York Times best-selling list often. He's written over 45 books on parenting and on marriage. Here at LifeQuest, I've actually interviewed him three times in this last 12 months, the various books that he has come out with through a year's period. Now, this book was particularly interesting, and I know that those of you who heard it enjoyed the program a lot. Well, I've discovered that I have three copies of Parenting Your Powerful Child, Bringing an End to the Everyday Battles by Dr. Kevin Lehman. And I have three copies I'd like to give to you. The first three of you, our listeners, who send me an email telling me that you want the book and giving me, of course, your address and where you're listening, will get a copy. And you can, the email address is lifequest@lifetalk.net. And again, this is for Parenting Your Powerful Child, Bringing an End to the Everyday Battles by Dr. Kevin Lehman. So send those emails to me right now, lifequest@lifetalk.net. Coming up on a future program of LifeQuest is a new book called Praying for Your Husband from Head to Toe. It's a daily guide to scripture-based prayer. It's by Sharon Janes. It's a practical prayer guide for every woman who understands that each day her husband faces the daily concerns of being out in the marketplace, along with encountering various temptations in his work, personal life, and spiritual life. It's a book for wives, fiancés, even future wives, who want their man to be well-equipped and protected from life's day-to-day hazards. The author is content to remove the mystery of what and how to pray, establishing an easy-to-remember prayer pattern for focused prayer, covering husbands from head to toe. And I think this is a valuable resource for Christian women seeking how to pray for their husbands. In fact, Sharon James' new book expands the concept covered briefly in her former best-selling title, Becoming the Woman of His Dreams. In a way, folks, it's unique and unlike other books on this topic. She examines how and why to pray, offers a systematic guide to praying daily through 16 landmarks using 16 different Bible verses each day as the basis for prayer. You're going to want to hear this interview, and I'm sure you're going to be interested in this book. Sharon James, by the way, is an international conference speaker. She's the author of 17 books, including one called A Sudden Glory. And she served as vice president and radio co-host of Proverbs 31 Ministries for 10 years. She's been a popular guest on Christian radio and television programs, including Focus on the Family, Family Life Today, and Revive Our Hearts. She's also the co-founder of Girlfriends in God. And I believe we interviewed her about this. That's a ministry that crosses denominational, generational, and racial boundaries to bring Christian women together. Look forward to this. It's going to be a book and an interview you're going to want to learn more about. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.